Yes, this is Culture and Conversations. I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm about to make you a part of the conversation. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for subscribing and sharing this content on social media and the various platforms that you use to consume Culture and Conversations. Up next on Culture and Conversations, I have an interview with Isaiah Kelly, a hilarious comedian I've seen here in Atlanta. Isaiah and his father, Gerald Kelly, and his brother, Joshua Kelly, are currently on tour, and Isaiah makes some time to be a part of the conversation. Up next on Culture and Conversations. Yes, I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and this is Culture and Conversations. Thank you guys once again for all that you do to make the show an awesome experience. It's one of the best things I do with my free time that I have oh so much of. So thank you guys for being a part of the conversation. Isaiah Kelly is up next, and I don't have a cultural critique, but I do want to just kind of, you know, talk a little bit about what's coming up this week, and that's Father's Day. Father's Day is a really important holiday across this nation. Maybe it takes a little bit of a back seat to Mother's Day, but Father's Day is a great time to just reflect and be thankful for your father in your life, your parents in general, but in particular, your father. And I just want to thank my father, Frank Smallwood, for all that he's done for me throughout the years. I love my father, and it took me a while to really appreciate his particular brand of love, but my father is a man's man, and he taught me how to be a man through tough love and at times through compassion and tenderness, but mainly he encouraged me to be a strong man because that's what the world demands of me and also demands of people like me who come from my particular cultural background. So, you know, my father just instilled a lot of hard lessons into me, and I think I'm thankful for those lessons every day. And I just appreciate him and all that he's done in my life as my father. And you know, regardless of what you think about your particular father, you wouldn't be here without him. And, you know, it took me a while to, like I said, appreciate my father as much as I should. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with Frank Smallwood and spending some time with him and catching up with him and the family this week as we celebrate Father's Day. Please take some time to thank your father, spend some time with him. And if you don't have your father with you, thank whoever is a significant man in your life that's took the time to invest some love and some sacrifice into your life so that you could be the person that you are today. Speaking of fathers, Isaiah Kelly is a hilarious comedian. Isaiah's father, Gerald Kelly, is actually how I got introduced to Isaiah and Isaiah's material, because Gerald was in town in Atlanta doing a show and was selling CDs and DVDs of his content. And basically, Isaiah was on the DVD that I bought from Gerald. And when I got a chance to see Isaiah, I was like, man, he's hilarious. He reminds me of his father, Gerald, a lot. And the talent is definitely there. And, you know, with me in comedy, I love a good comedian because they can make you laugh. They can make you think. In some cases, they may make you cry if you try to heckle them. But with Isaiah, he's just a funny guy. And he's a funny comedian. He's a funny talent. And he's been doing this a long time, too. He's been doing this for, you know, many, many years, it seems like, because he started when he was really young. And he's still young relative to the rest of comedy, but in terms of his actual stage experience and his time in the industry and the business, he's been doing this a long time. So I got a chance to catch him live in Atlanta, and I'm looking forward to catching him coming up. As of this recording, Isaiah will be here in Atlanta, Georgia at the Uptown Comedy Corner, June 21st through the 24th. He will be on the Gerald Kelly Father and Sons Tour. You guys can go get tickets from UptownComedy.net, and that's where you can find all the information about Isaiah's show. That's UptownComedy.net. Hope you guys enjoy this episode with Isaiah. He's a hilarious guy. He made me laugh a lot, and he made me think about a lot of things going on in the comedy industry. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with Isaiah Kelly up next on Culture and Conversations. I have on the phone Isaiah Kelly. Isaiah is an up-and-coming comedian that I had a chance to catch at Uptown Comedy Club here in Atlanta, Georgia. But I don't think that's a fair description of him saying he's up-and-coming. He's been doing this for a long time, you know what I mean? So I'd like to welcome to the conversation Isaiah Kelly. Isaiah, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on here. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man. I appreciate you obviously taking the time to make this interview happen. So, you know, I described you as up and coming, but that's not really fair because you've got a decade plus in the comedy game.
Yeah, I am 16 years in now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
16 years. Yeah, so I started at 10, 26 now, so.
Okay.
You can do the math.
I'm amazed, man, because, you know, I saw your father years ago at a comedy show when I was in school at Georgia Southern University. And
okay.
And, you know, I saw that brother, and your father's hilarious. And, you know, when I found out he had a son who was doing comedy, you know, and then I saw your set because I went and looked up some of your stuff on YouTube, I was dying laughing. So that's why I obviously got a chance to catch you at Uptown, man. And I enjoyed your set when you were down there. So it's funny that you guys have kept it, this comedy game, this comedy career in, you know, in the family. Let me ask you this first question. How did your father inspire you to start comedy when you were young?
In many ways, you know, just coming up, I was just always around comedians, and
okay,
I was, you know, it was, of course it was genetic. You know, I was always class clown in school, always making jokes, and I was always getting in trouble in school also.
Okay.
You know, fights and, you know, talking in class, just, you know, young guy, well, young boy stuff, just getting in trouble. And, you know, my pops just had this little gimmick at the time, and he was, you know, just like, yo, you want to do comedy? I was like 10 years old, gave me like 3-4 jokes.
Okay.
And I never forget, I did the Apollo, I was 10, did the Apollo, and that was my first time on TV. And then ever since then, it was, you know, inevitable. It just took it from there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I used to just go to the comedy club sometimes just to watch. Because, you know, after my mom and dad split, my dad, you know, I was spending time with my dad. He didn't have no babysitter, so he didn't want to leave me in the house by himself. So sometimes he's like, yo, call me to the club.
Yeah.
Call me to the club. And I was just sitting in there. So I actually started doing comedy. I don't know if you remember this dance. This dance was called the Harlem Shake Dance.
I remember that dance, yeah.
Yeah, and my dad had a joke about, you know, how they used to dance back in the day compared to now, and he'll try to do the Harlem Shake, and then he'll be like, you know what, I can't do it, but I know somebody who can.
Okay.
And he'll bring me on stage.
Wow.
And they'll play the music, and this is when I was dancing, like, I was just dancing all crazy, and I was going to do the Harlem Shake, had a crowd going crazy, and then I had, like, one or two jokes from there. Like a joke or two from there, and then that was it. And then they'll be like, all right, you got to get out the club. Like, you can't be in here. We got liquor licenses and all this stuff. We don't want to lose our liquor license. So you got to get your behind out of here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, man. And it just grew. It just grew and grew. And I was doing the circuit with all these comedians, you know, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck with it. I never gave up.
Oh, wow. How was the respect from the other comedians, you know? And the reason I asked that question, Isaiah, is because if you've been following a lot of the stuff going on in pop culture around comedy, that mm-hmm. seems to be a really big theme that comedians sort of have to buy into you as a comic in order for you to gain acceptance into that community. So with you being a child comedian, how was the respect coming into the game?
It was no respect. Okay. It was, you know, why you got this kid doing comedy? He could be doing other stuff.
Wow.
You know, why do you... You know, it's something about the culture with black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people not used to a father being in a son's life like that.
Okay.
And putting him... And, you know, we're used to kids doing something different, you know, rapping, or I'm going to go play basketball, I'm going to go play football,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go do this. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, you know, go do that. And, you know, comedy is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was, you know, and it's crazy you say that, because at 26, I'm just now getting the respect that I deserve. You know, people mm-hmm. that are my dad's age or who started with my dad, are just now looking at me as like, okay, you know, you're on your own. You're your own man now. So I guess they had to believe it to see it. But back then, it was so much negativity, you know, back then coming up. Like, yo, why Gerald got his son doing comedy? And were you forcing him to do comedy? And it was just a whole, you know, a whole thing. So, you know, we got over that, you know, we got over that hump. And, you know, people, even to this day, still try to break us up. It's like, yo, you guys need to focus on your own careers. And and we like, why do that? And their power is in, you know, power in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
My dad has his own fan base. I have my own fan base as well. So why not come, you know, why not come together? Even though I do want to do my own stuff, you know, I definitely don't want to, you know, I do want my own shine, if I could say that, but I have, you know, sometimes no problem doing father and son things. We got a lot of stuff happening right now with each other, and we on the road right now still. So, you know, I mean, I don't have no problem with it, but, you know, yeah, definitely coming up for years, you know, almost a decade, it was, you know, negativity towards it. And a lot of comedians that had something against it, you know, now their kids
okay.
are trying to do stand up. It is just like, you know, y'all were saying y'all would never put y'all kids in the comedy. Now it's like y'all kids, you know, want to do it now. So,
yeah. I think that's wild. You know, you mentioned the father-son relationship you and your father have. And for people listening, I didn't mention his father's name, but, you know, your father's name is Gerald Kelly. And Gerald is hilarious, you know. I'm sorry?
You said Gerald is hilarious?
Yeah, yeah. I said he's hilarious.
Nah,
yeah.
I was like, no, I said he's all right. He good. He all right. He got his days. Nah, he's funny.
Nah, I'm about to say, what we know what's really going on. Gerald's got you writing the jokes, and he's getting on stage doing them. That's what it is. So.
Exactly. He do be doing my jokes, too, man.
Yeah.
He talking about, that's my joke. I'm like, nah, you doing my stuff. But he got it.
You know, I didn't know our conversation was going to necessarily go in this direction, but I just want to spend a little time talking about the father-son dynamic there, because I think that's something to highlight. You know, we often, to your point, want our children to emulate, you know, NBA players, football players, athletes, entertainers. But your father, as a father should, I would say, he took you and exposed you to what it is he does to take care of himself and provide for you and the family at a young age. And you want to emulate your father. I don't think there's any shame in a son wanting to emulate his father. I think that's really
not at all.
Yeah, I think that's great parenting, really, truth be told, you know.
Of course. Because it got me out of trouble. It gave me a whole new lifestyle that I, you know, that I can do for a living to this day. And then I don't know what I'll be doing, you know, without it right now. It definitely helped me out to this day.
Wow. So we're talking about respect and earlier, and I was curious, what do you have to do to gain respect from your fellow peers in comedy? Because that's, you know, every time I listen to an interview of other comedians, and I don't want to go into all the, you know, the names and stuff, but these brothers are always talking about, you know, being respected and people respecting certain comedians and not respecting other comedians. So I'm kind of curious, like, what is it that you have to do to gain respect? Is there like some kind of, you know, union for comedians that you have to go to and apply for respect? You know, like, what is the process of establishing yourself in your career where people find you to be a credible comic?
Well, it's so many answers to this question, and lot of these, you said union. A lot of comedians have cliques,
okay,
who they hang out with, and if you're not in this clique, people will talk about you.
Okay,
you know what I mean? People act like you know, you don't matter, or they'll just always have something to say to you. And you know, I started hearing stuff about me personally, man, I'm to myself, I'm quiet. I go to my shows by myself. You know, I talk to comedians, but I don't really hang out with a group of comedians. It was just never my style.
Sure.
You know, I was always to myself. But, you know, to gain your respect, you got to just walk around like you don't care.
Okay.
Keep killing stages, keep blowing up stages, and you just walk around with that confidence that you know you're funny. You don't really need respect from other comedians like that, because comedians are not the ones that get you to where you need to be at.
Okay.
You know what I mean? These are just your coworkers, if I can put it like that.
Sure, yeah.
But they're not the ones that, you know, they'll put some money in your pocket, book you on shows. Like, it's a lot of people, I gave an example, it's a lot of comedians that don't like my pops.
Okay.
But they book him because he's funny.
Yeah.
They respect him as a comedian. Like, okay, this dude, I don't like him as a person or, you know, anything or anything personal, but I know if I book him, he's going to come blow up my stage. So all you got to do is just keep being funny, keep killing stages. Eventually, they'll respect you. They'll have the respect. Just like LeBron. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like LeBron, but they respect him. Mm-hmm. Or even Kobe. Or even great. Anybody great, people don't like them, but they respect who they are. So you don't... I never really tripped about people not respecting me, because I know eventually it'll come. It'll just come natural. They respect everything that I do. You know, how I carry myself. I'm humble, and I go to stages, and I do what I got to do, and I leave. Mm-hmm. And they respect that. So you don't really have to. The more you worry about it, you won't get it. You don't worry about it. You just go handle your business. They respect it. They'll see how you're moving, how you're acting, and eventually they respect you.
Yeah. I think that's a great answer, because for me, on the outside looking in, right, I'm a guy who consumes comedy as a customer of comedy and someone who's listening to comedians do their thing. And I think the most important thing in any business is to have the respect of your customers. I could care less what my competition thinks about me. I want the customers, the people who are coming into the comedy clubs, the people who are in the audience, even with my podcast, right? The people who are listening to Culture and Conversations, I want those people to respect the product. I don't care what any other podcast thinks about what I do.
Yeah, of course. Know?
So I think that's a great perspective, because a lot of times we get stuck on the respect thing because we get hung up on who likes us and who doesn't like us. But you handle it. You gave a good advice there and wisdom in your journey, because you said, you know, hey, it's just I'm going to go do my thing. And regardless of what people think about it, it's going to happen. And it's going to be successful because I'm trying to grind and make it successful. I don't care about what the people around me in terms of comedy think. You know.
Yeah.
So now one of the things I was going to ask you, man, is, you know, you started comedy when you said 16 years ago, when you were age 10. And, and what have been some of the challenges you faced in comedy in terms of reaching maybe like a larger presence in comedy? Like, what is the magic bullet, if there is one, for going from, you know, the different levels of starting out to being a seasoned comic to being someone who is getting, you know, looks from movies and TV shows? Is there a journey? Is there a script for doing that? Or is it just a matter of,
man, you know, okay, when I was coming up, there was a script. It was a certain way you had to do certain things.
Okay.
To get to a certain level. Now, with the internet is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You don't really have to go that route anymore.
Okay.
You know, like, you know how you have high school, college, NBA.
Uh-huh.
You have to go through that process. Now is you could just jump from the NBA. You could just jump to the NBA.
Sure.
Out of damn near middle school. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you have these internet comedians, and I don't knock them. A lot of people knock them because they didn't put the work in we put in.
Okay.
They didn't go through the grind. They didn't go to the comedy clubs. They just got on social media, took their phone out, got millions of followers, and now they're headlining these comedy clubs, and now they're in movies. They on TV just because of their internet presence.
So sure. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can say now. You have to get your social media up. I can't even say, yo, you got to go network with these people, and, you know, you got to get managers and agents. These people will find you just on the click of your Instagram page. Okay, this dude has how many followers? Oh, okay, he got a million fun followers. Let's put him in this movie, or let's put him on this show. Let's put him on this comedy club, because the people that book comedy clubs, they just want to put people in the seats so they can make money.
Okay.
Whether you're funny or not, they see you got a following. They know you're going to sell out. You know what I mean? They know you're going to sell out. So that's the only – that's how the game is now. The game is – that's where it's at.
You know, I had that on my list of things I wanted to run through you or run by you and talk with you about is the rise of the social media comedian, because I didn't even realize that was the business idea with that, you know, just get people in the seats. And if you've got a large social media following, they think that's going to translate to people following, you know, following them to the comedy clubs and bringing their dollars into the comedy clubs, you know. But I had a chance to talk with another comedian, a friend of mine. He did one of the earlier episodes of Culture and Conversations. His name is Christopher Pugh. We call him Big Chris. And, you know, he was talking about his experiences being an up-and-coming comedian and just the grind he's been on doing things in his journey as a comedian. And we talked about the seasoning that you get from doing the stage and being on stage. You know, I think that's the piece of the journey that people are missing is that, yeah, you know, you can be a funny guy for 5 minutes on, well, not even 5 minutes, but for a minute on Instagram in a video.
Yeah.
But can you go and work a stage for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or to an hour at a comedy club and bring that level of material to the stage where people will not just hear you that one night and be like, man, you weren't funny, but they'll be like, nah, you were hilarious, and I'm going to follow you and see you every time you're in town. You know,
yeah.
I think you guys, you know, let me ask you how you feel about this. You know, as someone who's gone through the traditional route of being on stage, doing shows, traveling and doing the touring to build your comedic skill and your timing and your chops as a comedian, do you think you have an advantage over the Insta celebrity, you know, social media comedians, because they don't have that timing?
Yeah, I definitely have an advantage over them because I started so young.
Mm-hmm.
But they came in, you know, in all fairness, they came into the game straight social media.
Okay.
I'm young, but I'm still old school.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I started early 2000s. So people be looking at me like, yo, you young, you need to be on social, you need to be doing what they doing. And I'll be trying to explain to them like, yo, I'm, you know, my mentality is still old school.
Sure.
I can do it, but I'm trying to explain to them how I grew up.
Yeah.
So a lot of the older comedians, they're in the same boat. They looking like, yo, I can't do it. I mean, I can do social media. Like, I have social media ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like a perfectionist sometimes. So I don't like to put out stuff that's not good. Like my pops, like me and my pops have this thing every day. He was saying, yo, you got to put stuff out every day. And I'm like, I'm not putting stuff out if I don't feel like it's funny. I can't force it.
Mm.
So I do a thing. Whatever comes to my mind, I record it.
Okay.
And I just put it on Instagram or Facebook, and people are like, yo, that's funny. Like, I have something like a couple weeks ago, I put up a post about cougars. Older woman wanting to mess with me, and older woman, you know, telling me, you know, they flirting with me, but at the same time, they're telling me, oh, you're my son age and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, miss, like, I don't care about none of that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I have a whole thing about it. And it was just something that popped into my head. And I was like, yo, let me record this. That's how I operate. If I can just let it flow,
uh-huh.
I let everything flow. I don't force anything upon nothing, because when you force it, it doesn't come out good.
Yeah.
So I just let it flow. And I was like, okay, whatever. Even with writing jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I used to try to sit down and write material, and it never worked. I'd be sitting there for an hour or two with nothing written down on that paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, you know what? Let me just step back, chill out, and jokes will pop into my head. Or situations just happen when I'm outside, minding my business, or I'll see something. And I was just like, you know what? All right, let me put that in my phone. That's funny. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So I'm one of those people that just let it flow. But the social media is where it's at, you know, and I'm attacking it, but I'm not attacking it to where I need to, you know, with the skits, sketches and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that yet, but I have ideas. I just have to, you know, I have to, you know, sit down, put it all together, and figure it out.
Yeah. I'll give you this bit of perspective from my experiments on social media, and I pass this on to my buddy Chris Pugh as well. So I'm giving it to you as well, man. Just, you know, and you can do what you want to with it. But one of the things I use with Facebook when I build my ideas for my podcast is I will put up something in my status that I think is funny, I think it's witty, I think it's provocative. And then I look at the responses I get on Facebook, because on Facebook, you can get a smiley face, you can get a thumbs up, you can get a frown face, you can get a tear, you can get a wow, you can get all of that stuff, right? And The reactions tell me how people feel about what I said. So if I say something that I think is funny and I get, you know, 30 likes or whatever, 30 reactions to it, that's what they call them, reactions, and I get like 25, you know, laughing faces, and I get like, you know, 5 thumbs up, then I'm like, okay, that was funny. So I experiment with content for show ideas by putting up little tidbits on my social media to see how people respond to it. And if people are engaging that content, then I'll dedicate time to it on my podcast, because I feel like, okay, that's something that caught people's attention. If people hear that on the show, then they're gonna really respond to it in some type of a visceral way, whether it's by laughing, whether it's by getting upset, you know, it'll create a reaction. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, cause I follow you on Instagram and I remember that bit and I laugh when you talked about the cougars, cause you were talking about they'd be looking at your beard and stuff, you know? So, you know, I don't know how you get feedback necessarily through Instagram in a similar fashion, but that's something that is that's something that you want to pay attention to when you do post your content, because it'll tell you what people are really responding to. And then as you want to, you know, write more stuff in that same vein or in that same thought, that'll give you some encouragement. Oh, you know what? You know, people really were feeling that joke, or they were feeling that bit, you know? So I don't know. That's just my, you know, experience with social media, experimenting, you know, and just kind of seeing what's out there and seeing how people respond to it. Cause I think that's why, from a software engineering standpoint, that's why they built that feature. I'm a software engineer by trade. So I pay attention to the technical stuff like that. Like, oh, why did they put that in the site? Well, they put that in the site because it gives them the ability to tell, to have more insight into what you thought about that post. So it's like, oh, you thought this post was funny. You thought this post was, you know, made you angry. You know, this post made you sad, you know? So yeah, it's just, that's my two cents, man. I didn't mean to, give away too much
of my game,
you know? So, but I think you have the right mindset, man. Cause I appreciate that about your comedy, and bringing it back to you, and is that you aren't just putting out junk. You are trying to give me value for the time I'm investing into your career by listening to your set and laughing with, along with you, and watching your observations, you know. You know, one of the things that I've been talking about as we wrap up this piece of the conversation about social media stuff, I've been trying to coin this phrase, and I'm calling it crowdsource comedy, where like the internet just produces funny stuff. You don't really know where it came from. You don't know who said it. You don't know why they, you know, you don't know where this person who made this picture and this meme came from, or this video, but it's just out there and it goes viral and people are just consuming it. But it's kind of like faceless comedy. It's kind of anonymous because you don't really know that person who produced that joke. But when you see the picture and you see the caption, it's hilarious, you know? And I think that's one of the things that has changed comedy with the internet, is that now people are really being fed hilarious material, but it's all anonymous. You know, it's not necessarily attributed back to a particular comedian. And I think that is a challenge that you guys have in your, you know, in your careers as you adapt to this new space of internet comedy and crowdsource comedy, because, you know, you are the source of comedy, but the internet tries to encourage people to not be, you know, that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of more of an anonymous comedy where it's just the internet's funny, you know, not the, you know, the internet's the comedian. And even though we're the ones contributing to it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's all it's all a grind, man. It's all a grind. It's like my, you know, I always learn it's you know, it's not a race, it's a marathon. It keeps going. It keeps going. So you get what you put. That's how I look at it. You get what you put into it. I try to work every day. I don't try. I do work every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I do take time off, you know, just for myself. I don't like to overdo it. And people have to understand that, too. It's okay to, you know, sometimes take that time off, relax, because comedy, people don't understand this, man. Comedy, it looks like it's all fun and games, but it will kill you. Like, you know, a lot of comedians have died from heart attacks, strokes, and, you know, because it's stressful. Everybody's trying to get to a certain level, and you're on the road, and you're stressed, or you're not getting booked, and you know, you're just tired, and you don't have source of income, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just gets out of hand, and the next thing you know, such and such died, such and such had a heart attack. It's all related to stress. So I always try to tell people, like, yo, you have to enjoy your lives, you have to have hobbies. Don't over, you know, work yourself.
Yeah.
I know we all need money, especially in the society we live in today. You got to have money.
No doubt.
Especially with this dude in office. So you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Regardless. But you have to also find that time, find that space to, for your own peace, your inner peace, to, you have to relax and just enjoy the ride. Just take the moment to realize where you're at right now. You know what I mean? I just came off last week. I had a show damn near every day. Mm-hmm. I had a show.
Yeah.
And I had two shows this week. And now this week, I think I only have one show this week. And I'm not complaining, but I'm thankful for having shows. Mm-hmm. Because there are comedians out there or people that's out there that don't have no show. They don't have no work.
Nah.
So I can't look like, oh, I don't have no shows right now. But, I just came off last week. You know how many comedians haven't performed a week straight ever,
or
got paid, you know what I mean? So I have to enjoy the moment, and that's how I keep myself sane, you know, that's how I keep myself real at ease. Oh, it's okay, you know, if I don't get this, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. I try not to compare. I used to, like, if I see people I knew on TV or on Wild and Out, I'd be like, no, I'm supposed to be on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why am I not on this? I need to be on it. I stopped doing that. You know, because it just stresses me out even more.
Nah, that's real. That's real. I had to tell myself that early on when I started doing my podcast, because, you know, I started thinking that, this should be hot. This should be bubbling. This should be popping. This interview should have done numbers. You know what I mean? I'm thinking I'm putting out content that is intelligent, it's engaging, it's smart, it's funny. And I'm like, why hasn't it gotten to a certain place with it, you know? But then I have to tell myself, I'm like, man, I just started the game of podcasting. I'm just now in this internet media space, you know, for the first time.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I had to tell myself, like, man, don't make yourself upset because you haven't done something that people have been grinding on literally all, you know, for decades trying to do, you know, trying to get things to pop.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a grounded way you're looking at your career, is that, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of you being consistent and grinding and getting to that certain point.
Yeah. Don't cheat yourself. You know, don't cheat yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do, you do it. And I'm not up here talking like I'm perfect, because I still mess up. It's still things that I'm supposed to do that I'm not doing. And I know that. But as long as you do know, what you're supposed to do, you know, get to it. It's a lot of people, you'll tell them, like, yo, you need to be doing this, you need to do this, and
sure,
they don't listen, they won't do it, and you're just trying to help them out. So as long as you're knowledgeable to the fact that, okay, I have to do these things, I know I have to do it to help my career out. So don't teach yourself also.
No doubt. I was going to ask you this question before we end our conversation, man, is Isaiah, let me say it a different way. Isaiah, who are your top five comedians that you just think are killing the game? It can be past, it can be present. You know, who are your top five comedians of all time?
Top five all time. Oh man, it's tough. If I was just Dave Chappelle,
okay,
is my number one. That's my number one. I think he's the best comedian of all time. Mm-hmm. After Chappelle, I'll go with Pryor.
Okay.
And people be like, you got to put Pryor number two. It's just, you know, I don't like to say that. I like to leave Pryor out of this top five because he's like the godfather of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll go Pryor. After Pryor, I'll have to go Chris Rock.
Okay.
After Chris Rock, I have to go. No, I'm sorry. Before Chris Rock, I have to go Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Bugging
out. I have to go Murphy, then Chris Rock. And then after Rock, I have to go Patrice O'Neal. Rest in peace.
Yeah, Patrice O'Neal,
Patrice O'Neal was. He was amazing. He was amazing, man. I have to go Patrice. But yeah, that'll be my five. It's kind of hard to do a top five, but yeah, if I was to put life or death situation, I need five comedians. You know, those would be my five.
Yeah, that's a strong squad, man. I see that you left out the name of Bill Cosby, so we're not even gonna, you know, touch on that.
Yeah, yeah. Bill is in some stuff right now, and I can't put him in my top five. I hope everything gets, you know, situation. What's in the dark always comes to light, no matter what it is. So
yeah,
I don't know. You know, a lot of people say he's getting framed and it's a setup because he's trying to buy NBC and they're trying to kill his legacy. So I mean, who knows, man? So hopefully the truth does come out. I mean, he did get what called guilty, convicted of it. So,
yeah.
So who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's tough, man, because you have such an appreciation for his talent and his art and his contribution to comedy.
Shows, man. Like, that show was, this wasn't a regular show. That was an iconic show. So it was like, man, so
yeah, it's tough,
man. It is tough.
You know, but I didn't just mention him to just be mentioning him. I think his art is just genius. But the challenge is that when you are the product in some ways, then it does shape how people see the product when they see you a certain kind of way. So. But, you know, obviously I grew up on Bill Cosby and watching The Cosby Show, watching, you know, A Different World and just some of the aspirationalism that he put into my life just through his show of, hey, you can be a professional, you can go on and go to college and do all these different things. Part of my story is tied to what he showed in that show and the depiction of the African-American family that he put in that show. But, you know, more power to him. I hope he obviously, you know, figures out a way to deal with all of this, and his life has changed forever because of it and his legacy. So, but let's end on a high note, man. Let's end on a high note. What do you got going on, Isaiah, that we can follow along with and be mindful of? I saw that you had a tour coming up that you're doing with your father and your brother, and you guys are on tour. And tell me about the tour and kind of what's going on with that. And let's kind of wrap up on a more positive note than talking about some of the more negative stuff that's been going on.
We're on tour right now. We just left South Carolina.
Okay.
And actually, we're going to be in Atlanta at the Uptown Comedy Corner, June 21st to the 24th.
Okay.
So we're in Atlanta. We're in Virginia. We're in Connecticut. We going to New Zealand.
Oh, nice.
In October. Yeah, man. So we doing it. We got a couple other projects coming out that, you know, people will see. I'm not too much of a talker of what we got going on. I just like people to see the finished product and see what's going on. But yeah, we got some things happening, man. So, you know, just stay tuned and stay tuned. We got some big stuff.
Cool.
You know, so I'm crossing my fingers, praying, all that stuff, and
yeah,
hopefully, you know, we get, you know, the main goal, you know, the main goal. So we close, and so we just got to keep pushing forward. But yeah, we definitely on tour right now. Father and Sons joint is popping right now. Me, my pops,
mm-hmm.
and my little brother, Josh. Josh is 11. Josh is 12. He just turned 12.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many kids, but my pops had, I don't know their ages.
you gotta check their Facebook profile to see if y'all related.
Yeah, like, I don't even know how. Yeah, like, yeah, it's bad. I don't know. My sisters, all of them. I'm like, how old are y'all? I'd be forgetting. There's just so many to keep up with. But
wow,
yeah, we on tour right now. My pops did it. You know, he did a great thing putting us, putting us in the comedy. Got his sons, and it's never been done before. Nobody has ever seen it.
That's cool, man.
Us doing comedy, so we on tour together. Everything's flowing, man. Everything's flowing.
That's cool, man. You tell your dad, man, to stop big timing me too, and do the Culture and Conversations podcast. I reached out to him as well.
Yeah, man. I tell him. You know, my pops is one of those people. He. How can I put this? He don't really know how to operate the social media stuff and. He's just all over the place. I can put it like that. He's all over the place. So you have to probably catch him in person and talk to him in person.
Yeah.
And instead of reaching him on social media, because doing it through social media is not going to work. I'll let you know that right now. It ain't going to happen through social media. You have to come out to a show, probably introduce yourself and be like, yo, I want to interview you. Tonight, right now, or tomorrow. And that's how you get that dude, man, for real.
I hit him up on social media, no lie, and he gave me his cell phone number. And I reached out to him on the cell phone. I called him up. I said, hey, Gerald, this is Jameson Smallwood with Culture and Conversations. How are you doing, man? I want to reach out to you and get you on my podcast. And no lie, and I'm embellishing a little bit, but no lie, man, your dad hit me back with like the white bill collector voice. You know what I'm saying? He was like, I got your message. Yes, I saw that you wanted to get in touch with me. You wouldn't believe the kind of day I've had, so let me get back to you as soon as I can. And that was like 3 weeks ago.
Sound like him.
You know?
Sound like him. You know what's crazy? It'd be days where I'd be with him all day, and somebody will call him, and he'll just be like, right now is not a good time. Right now is not a good time. I'm looking around like, well, what the hell is going on? That is not a good time right now. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are we going through? But yeah, if my pops is not good with pressure like that, if he feels some type of pressure or it's too much going on, it'd be a whole thing. So you have to catch him. Yeah, you have to catch him on one of them days when he just ain't doing nothing.
Well, what I'm going to do, man, I'm going to roll through at Uptown Comedy Corner. I don't even go that far in South Atlanta because, that's the hood. But I'm going to make an exception for you guys, man. And
they got a new club now. They just changed it up. They got a new club. I don't know where it's at now.
Yeah.
But they're not at the same venue they were before.
Nah,
so,
man.
I mean, I don't know yet. But, yeah,
the
21st to the 24th come out.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a better spot, though. They seem to be very proud of the new spot where they're at. So,
yeah, definitely.
When I saw you at the old spot, man, I was like, man, you know, I was scared for my life a few times out there in that parking lot, man. You know, anytime.
Oh yeah, that parking lot is other people, but right next to the strip club too.
I was like,
my strip club was. I went in that strip club, walked right out of that strip club. It was so bad. Those chicks, I was like, what the hell? Where am I right now?
Yeah. I got a thing, man, about a strip club. I don't want the fried wings being too good, man. If I smell like the wings and they smell like they're too good, I'm like, nah, this ain't the strip club for me, man. You know, I gotta get away from here. This is a problem.
Well,
you know,
I went to a strip club with my dad one time, and I was just like, why am I in here with my pop? It was a strip club in New York, and he went in, and I stayed out. I had stayed out because I was like, I ain't going to no strip club. I had a girlfriend at the time, And I was like, nah, you know, I'm loyal. I ain't gonna go in there to see no hoes or whatever. So one of his friends came was like, yo, come on, get out. We're going here to see these hoes. And I was like, all right. So I went in there, and it was a strip club full of people that went to school with my mom, my dad. One chick used to babysit me. She gave me lap dance. Like, yeah, they remember me. I used to take care of you. I used to pick you up from school.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, Miss Santana, you stripping now?
It's that recession, man. That recession came through and had people doing things they didn't think they would do.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know those strippers are making money, man. I don't not say hustle. Like I said, people, get your money, get you some Malays, get your money. You got a strip, you got to get a sugar daddy, something. Even me, give me a sugar mama, somebody. You know what I mean? But nah, man. But yeah. So come out, man. Come support. Spread the love. Spread the word.
Definitely,
you know, man. Being an A real soon.
Definitely. Now, give me the date one more time, Isaiah, for that Uptown Comedy Corner.
June 21st through the 24th.
Okay, cool, man. June 21st through the 24th, 2018. We're going to make it happen, man. I'm going to get down there myself, and I'm going to definitely give you guys some shine and make sure that you guys make sure that we advertise it for you on the Culture and Conversations podcast. And just support, man. Isaiah, man, what is your social media so people can reach out to you and follow along and go and give you some of their space. Let me do it again, man. Dang, that was horrible, man. I'm up here stuttering like I got a speech impediment, man. Like, man, I am Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson just hit me. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah, man, what is your social media and how can people get in touch with you, man?
People can follow me. Instagram, Isaiah Kelly, ISIAH, KELLY. That's all my social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's it. You can follow me right on that.
Cool, man. Don't spell it like the Bible, Isaiah, because...
not like the Bible. I'll be trying to explain that to people. My pops named me after the basketball player, Isaiah Thomas. He thought I would go to the NBA. That didn't work out. So that's my name, yeah.
I thought of another explanation. I was like, man, you could tell that brother wasn't in the church, but he felt spiritual when he named his son.
He
misspelled.
And he'll try to lie to him and be like, yeah, I named my son after the Bible, like the biblical name. No, you didn't. Don't lie to these people.
So, Isaiah, spell it one more time for us, man, and we're going to be out, man.
ISIAH. Last name Kelly was just the why.
Perfect, man. Perfect. Isaiah, man, thank you so much for your time on Culture and Conversations. Thank you for being part of the conversation, man.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Isaiah Kelly, for stopping by Culture and Conversations and being part of the conversation. Well, that brings our episode to an end. Make sure you guys check out the Gerald Kelly Father and Son Comedy Tour at Uptown Comedy Corner in the Atlanta, Georgia area. That's going to be June 21st through the 24th. And you can find information about the show and purchase tickets at uptowncomedy.net. Well, with that, be sure to stay in touch with Culture and Conversations on Facebook. That is the name of the page, Culture and Conversations. If you want to hit me up on Instagram, Culture and Conversations. And if you want to reach out to the show and send an email, cultureandconversations@gmail.com. Thank you guys. I love each and every one of you. And I hope that you guys have a wonderful week, wonderful day, whenever you're listening to this, a wonderful night, a wonderful moment. Yeah. All of that stuff. Make sure it's wonderful. How about that? And on that note, I'm out, people. Peace.